Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Less Than Perfect, premiering Tuesday, October 1st, only on ABC. Bob McGraw from McGraw Industries joins us with a new book called Alzheimer's, There Is a Lighter Side. Bob, welcome.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Tell us about this book.
Alzheimer's, There Is a Lighter Side, Phil, is a book that we've been contemplating for a long time because so many families are dealing with the tragedy of this disease. And right now we see in the headlines the former president of the United States, President Reagan, is himself and his family dealing with it. But I think that there is a lighter side, and we have done research and we've come up with interesting anecdotes and interesting stories that can help people who've never had this disease get through it. Obviously, people who have been through this with family members may not think it's anything to find a lighter side to.
Are you joking about it?
No, that's one thing we don't do. We say there is a lighter side, but no, we do not joke, because we know there are people that are sensitive to that.
Because this is a really controversial subject. Did you ever, for instance, did you ever have a father or a mother, God forbid, that had this?
Phil, I did not. But among the people I hired to do the book, some of them know a little bit about it. All the proceeds, by the way, go to charity. But this Alzheimer's, I'm going to tell you, it is wild stuff. It is real different. And I don't know if you are familiar that much with it.
Well, let me just tell you that my father suffered with it toward the end of his life. Janice and Garrow, our producer, her grandmother suffered with it.
Well, it's wild stuff, because some of the states that some of the stories, I should say, that people share are lighthearted, and we call it laughter between the tears. So we have a lot of different anecdotes in the book that will help.
And you say that money goes to charity. So you've written a book about...
All of it goes to charity. Well, about 90% goes to charity.
After what? Production costs?
After production costs, right. And it will...
Who are the charities that are you donating this money to, Alzheimer charities?
That would be an obvious one. Absolutely.
Well, give me the names of some of the charities you're donating the money from the sale of this book to.
Okay, Phil, I've got the information in my car, which we ran into the building after lunch because we knew we had the phoner with you. If you forgive me.
All right, okay. If you can have somebody go get it, we'd love to hear. But tell me, you're relating stories?
We're relating anecdotes that families have sent us and that our staff was able to collect while we were writing this book. And it's, I'll tell you, if you've ever heard of, well, you have, Phil, but a lot of your listeners don't know about Alzheimer's. It was really crazy. It's wild. Here's a story. We've got an elderly woman who had been afflicted with Alzheimer's for 4 years, wanders out of her house and goes into a neighbor's home and is discovered sitting on the toilet reading a magazine. And it's stories like this that I think...
So there's a lady that wandered out of her home.
Lady wanders out of her house and goes into another house and uses the toilet, sitting there reading a magazine. It's a light moment. It shows you how... Can you imagine coming downstairs, you see a strange older woman sitting on the toilet in your bathroom? So these things are fun for people, and they can read. And it also, Phil, I think, importantly, gives people an idea of what they can expect if, God forbid, but if they come down with Alzheimer's. It's not all terrible. You find yourself in some interesting positions.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, the lady that they found sitting on the toilet wouldn't know where she was, would she?
Well, I'm sure she did know where she was, but I think that if you alert people, here's another story that comes from Joe and this is Jane and Ralph at Grand Rapids, and her aunt was living with them and had a form of a degenerative Alzheimer's, and they came into the kitchen one night and they saw this lady boiling her underwear, and when they asked her what she was doing, she said she was making soup. So
making soup.
So. These are the fun things you can tell, and we got a lot of stories like this in our book, Alzheimer's, There Is a Lighter Side, Laughter Between the Tears. The book retails, by the way, Phil, for $19.95. It's a coffee table book, and it's something that can be a something that people can talk about.
All right, Robert, Bob McGraw, right?
Please call me Bob.
Bob McGraw with us from McGraw Industries. The book is called Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side. It purports to have funny anecdotes about people with Alzheimer's. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, and then I want to make a statement to you, Bob, if I could.
Certainly, Phil.
1-800-449-8686. I have to tell you that for those of us who have suffered this disease with family members, it's not funny. It wasn't funny for me with my father, and I'm sure Janice would tell you it wasn't funny with her grandmother.
Well, no, it isn't, but if if we can get these stories out about people with Alzheimer's, Phil, we can begin to show people that it isn't all bad. I see your point about the fact that this is a bad disease, but this book is really for people who have never had a relative get it or have never come down with it themselves. You'll be better prepared, and if you are a candidate for it, you'll see it's not all bad. You'll make people laugh. You'll enjoy your... And with Alzheimer's, you're always doing something unpredictable. Here's another story from our book. A man went to visit his father in a nursing home, and the father was sitting there wearing two pairs of pants. It's something about the...
So you tell the story, so that's going to make me do what?
Well, hopefully it's going to make it, not you, because you've had a relative with Alzheimer's, but people who've never had relatives with Alzheimer's would find that very funny. A guy sitting there with two pairs of pants.
So the guy sitting there with the two pairs of pants had Alzheimer's?
Yes, and the lady that was boiling her own underwear, making soup, and the lady that walked across the street and used somebody... And these stories give those who have Alzheimer's in their family genes that they will be able to make their families laugh with the crazy, unpredictable stunts they do when they come down with it.
Yeah, but what about the person himself suffering from it?
Well, those people, you keep them as comfortable as you can. You bring in a nurse. I don't know what you do, but there are people who are better qualified to talk about that than me, but you keep them comfortable.
Well, our number 1-800-449-8686 to talk to Bob McGraw. And the other thing is the book is for sale where?
Well, the book is going to be going out on sale in time for Christmas, but you can mail order it. We'll give you that number later on.
All right. Now, I'd also like to know what charity. You say that 90%...
Yeah, 80 to 85% goes to charity, Phil. But most importantly, you have to understand that the book is not intended to offend anybody.
Well, what are the charities that it benefits?
The charities
The book that you're selling, what are the charities that it benefits?
The book benefits charities for... Get Sally in here. Sally, can you get my briefcase? We got a lot of people we work with. You have to understand, Phil. These stories are funny. And if you're going to have Alzheimer's, Phil, isn't it nice to know that you lighten the mood of your relatives by wearing two pairs of pants, by boiling your own underwear and these things?
I suppose if it made my relatives laugh, it makes some sense.
And then there's one really funny and also bizarre story. This is from a chapter called Dad, the War is Over. Because a lot of these guys still think that World War II is happening. This woman from San Francisco writes about her father had an advanced psychiatric dementia, a psychotic dementia, who was taken to a local sushi bar. And a lot of Japanese go to these things, Phil, and a lot of our veterans fought the Japanese in World War II.
I'm aware of that.
So he tries to get over the counter at the sushi chef with a switchblade, and the local police come, and they have to shoot him. And he scared seven shades of crap out of this sushi chef because he thought he was back on Iwo Jima. So these are the stories that...
Wait a minute. You had a guy shot to death?
Well, I don't know if he died, but he thought he was back on Iwo Jima, and he came over the counter and...
See, those are the stories that are not going to be funny.
Well, that's because you had Alzheimer's in your family. People who didn't, it's going to be amusing to them.
All right, people who didn't have Alzheimer's in their family... Shouldn't they be made aware of the tragedy of it and of the challenge of it and of the...
These are people going to find that out all too soon, Phil. What they should be made aware of is, as we say with the title of our book, Alzheimer's Can Be Fun. And I'm also including...
Alzheimer's Can Be Fun.
Please listen to me, Phil. I'm also including the wacky things celebrities with Alzheimer's do. And you wouldn't believe some of the bits I got from... Lawrence Welk's, some people who had some ideas about what happened to Lawrence Welk.
Well, I hope his family's not giving any of this stuff.
No, they wouldn't speak to me, but...
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking here with Robert McGraw. He has published a book called Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side. Is there anything funny about this disease? I can tell you my father had it toward the end of his life. And as I mentioned, Janice's grandmother and a few people I know... Mr. McGraw thinks that by selling this book, giving some of the funny anecdotes about what Alzheimer patients go through, then he can make some money for Alzheimer's charities. The lady who was boiling her own underwear, the lady who walked across the street and used the neighbor's bathroom, some guy who put on two pairs of pants in the nursing home, and then a guy who thought he was back on Iwo Jima trying to knife a sushi chef. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bob McGraw from McGraw Industries selling a book called Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side. You really think you're going to sell a book like this, Bob?
Phil, I really believe you're overreacting.
Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side.
I think you're overreacting. I think with President Reagan coming down with this disease, I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to understand this disease a little bit more, and I think it'll be interesting to them. We've got a great anecdotes. She was a retired lady in San Diego, and her husband, she left the house. Her husband couldn't get in.
This lady had Alzheimer's.
Right. And he came through the window trying to get in the house, and she hit him with a baseball bat. It was a misunderstanding, but this is the kind of story you can sit back, you can relax, you can read about Alzheimer's, and you can have a laugh. And right now, with a network following a person with the first stages of Alzheimer's, we're in talks with them right now, until the stage where they're putting stamps on their shoes and mailing them to the White House. It's going to be fantastic.
You're in talks with a network now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Louise. Louise, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes.
I just wanted to say to the man who wrote that book, I think it's absolutely disgusting.
Well, I didn't write the book, ma'am. Members of my staff did, but
anyone who thinks this is funny, and I have never, thank the good Lord, had Alzheimer's in my family.
You never came down with it yourself?
That.
Did you come down with it yourself at any time?
You don't come down with it and get cured of it.
I didn't
All
say
right.
I came down with it and got cured, but maybe you're suffering from it if you think this is funny.
Well, let me
to see a person who is normally dignified displaying this type of behavior.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with
that an
behavior.
Alzheimer patient does is
right.
not funny. There's nothing humorous about
it. How do you know you don't have it right now? See? That's kind of funny if you think about it.
Well, you know, that's true.
I work
every day, and I am thought to be normal. I don't know how many people would think you're normal. If you are, then...
This is the reaction I thought you'd get, Bob. Alzheimer's is a very tragic...
I understand that, but for the ones that never had it, you see, have any friends that have it? Do you have any friends that have it? And if you do, do you have any funny stories you can share with us?
Heavens, no. There's no funny stories. There's nothing funny anywhere about
it. Ma'am, you may think you're talking to Oprah Winfrey right now. I don't know.
All right, this is...
No, I know. I know your ilk, and you're certainly not Oprah Winfrey.
I'm what? You know I'm what?
Your ilk. You have no class, no common sense, no courtesy, no caring for the human race.
Thank you.
Well, that was an insult, I would think. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Andrea on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Andrea on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, I agree with many of the comments that Louise made. I think making fun of Alzheimer's disease is very degrading to the person, and anyone who is in the field, who is around people with Alzheimer's, would not find this book funny. I think any organization that would accept profit from this book, it's insulting.
All right, you don't think that a woman making soup out of her own underwear isn't funny. I just want to be clear.
I want to be clear,
because if you don't think a lady trying to make soup out of her own underwear isn't funny, I think there's more wrong with you than there is with me.
I think a woman who has Alzheimer's disease who is doing that is not funny.
What? Why?
It isn't.
It's still funny.
Yeah, but it's a person whose mind is gone. You might as well go into the nut house and watch some of them playing cards with invisible cards.
Well, I'll tell you something right now, Phil. If I was going to wind up in a nut house and I knew there were guys in there playing with invisible cards, it would lessen the load. It would lessen the fear for me. Okay? I would have something to look forward to.
What would you look forward to?
Just hanging around guys like that. To me, would be funny. See what I'm saying? I can tell I'm making sense to you, Andrea, because you're stopping, you're pausing, you're thinking about what I'm saying.
That's right.
So I'm making sense to you. We're not making fun. We're giving laughter between the tears. I could sell you a copy right now with our pre-release price.
Well, you'd have to be hardened to it. You would not. If you understand the disease of Alzheimer's, you could not laugh at it. Somebody who knows nothing about Alzheimer's
disease. Right, because these people eventually die.
Look, the money we're giving is to charity, okay?
What's the name of the charity?
70% is going to a charity.
What's the name of the charity?
The charity is for elderly people. It's for elderly people that have this.
Alzheimer's.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, what is the name of it?
You know what? Sandra has the name in my office. As I said, I ran in there. I haven't had a chance to get my briefcase. But we're giving 65% of our money to charity, and it is going to help people that do, that, you know, that's making soup out of their underwear. Now, how's that bad?
Yeah, I think
how is that bad?
Undignified.
How is that bad? You see, Andrea, I know.
Well, you obviously haven't been around people who have Alzheimer's.
I know, Andrea.
If those people knew what they were doing, they would be mortified.
If you read our book, I know you're going to come around.
All right, Andrea, thank you for your call. You have to have a relative who's had it, Bob.
Your dad had it.
Yes, my dad had it. And my father wandered out into the street. And he, said...
What are some of the things he said?
Well, one time he said to me that he thought Frank Gifford could go back and play football.
That's funny. Can I put that
in? No, I don't want you to put that in the book.
But that's funny. See,
that's not funny. When my old man said to me he thought Frank Gifford could still play football, I knew he was gone, man. I mean, gone. Okay?
And you didn't think that was funny?
I thought it was weird.
What did he say?
Well, he said... I'm not going to tell you what he said. You're going to stick it in your book. Let me go to Mary Kay on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mary Kay.
Hi. I think that man is totally sick. My mom had Alzheimer's, and she knew in her lucid moments, my mother knew that she was losing her mind.
Well, how do you know she had Alzheimer's?
She was diagnosed with it.
Well, how did they know?
They have tests. They have tests.
What did she do to tell them that she had it?
You are a sick man try to gain profit from someone's undignified acts. It's just a sad thing,
Bob,
that you would do that.
Even though I'm giving 60% of the money to charity that is going to help a lot of these people.
I don't know any charity that would graciously accept that kind of money.
You don't? Well, I do.
No, I don't.
Well, what's the name of the charity?
I told you. For people that are old. It's a charity for people.
A charity for people that are old.
Mr. Henry, I will get you the specific name, but it benefits seniors and the elderly. Yes,
no,
sir.
No, here you are putting seniors down Alzheimer's,
down?
And you're saying you're going to try to benefit them? These people, God forbid, it's a sin when they don't recognize their own children.
Do you know
when
what Alzheimer's does, Bob?
When they don't recognize their own spouse.
My dad sat in a parked car for 6 hours one day. Didn't even know he'd been sitting in a parked car for 6 hours.
Your dad sat in a parked car?
I don't want you putting that in a book. And I don't find that funny.
Come on, Phil. The guy sat in a parked car for 6 hours?
Yes, that's what he did, and it's not funny.
Mary Kay, what do you think?
I think it's not funny. I think it's sad.
You know, Henry, they told me you had a comedy show.
Your family.
I know you're only getting people who got a sense of humor. But I can tell you that we will give 50% of all proceeds to charity for the...
The old folks'
Why
charity.
Why does this percentage keep going down in what you're giving
I
to
said
charity?
That we have a production cost, ma'am. We're giving 50%.
Oh, it was 85, then it was 60,
no, ma'am.
Now it's 50%.
I have a production cost.
If we could roll the tape back, I thought I heard him say 70%.
All right, what did I say, 70? So it's 65 to 70%, but we do have production costs.
Mary Kay?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Mary Kay.
Thank you.
Do you have Alzheimer's? Well, you don't have Alzheimer's, but are you close?
You know what? I think you're... No.
1-800-449-8686. Bob McGraw, McGraw Industries, with a new book out. It's a coffee table book called Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side. He's got stories in there about people that are trying to boil their own underwear, wearing two pairs of pants, etc. He says he's giving the money to charity, but there is a serious question as to this man's motives. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
The thing I resent the most is when I tell you stories about my father who had Alzheimer's you want to use it for your book.
Some of them, Phil, I think are amusing.
Amusing to you, and maybe amusing to some sick people out there.
I'm sorry that your father had Alzheimer's, Phil, but I got to tell you something. You're a little too close to this story. You're a little too close to it.
And so people that have never had Alzheimer's, they're going to think your book, Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side, is a riot and a half with the story of the lady boiling her own underwear.
Lady boiling... I got another story about a guy that got into his car in his pajamas and drove to San Francisco from Los Angeles, a trip of 6 hours, checked himself in to the Hyatt Regency Hotel on Market Street, spent the weekend and drove back, never got out of his pajamas.
Checked himself into the Hyatt Regency?
Yeah. You believe that? Now, who's at fault there? The Hyatt Regency is a fantastic hotel.
You sure it was the Hyatt?
Well, one of them hotels on Market. I don't know which one it was. The guy gets in with his underwear? Come on.
You said his...
Well, his pajamas. Now, Phil, what we want you to understand is that there is a donation to charity, and also we're doing an awful lot of work for our television show, one of the major networks. It's a reality show, follows somebody from the early stages of Alzheimer's all the way to the very end. And listen to this. This is a piece of sound from the pilot that we have just done, we've just finished shooting. He's in an airplane. He gets into an airplane, and apparently it stalls out. Listen.
What is that?
This is footage from our TV show. Now, this gentleman's name is Glenn Becker, and he has Alzheimer's. Can you hear that, Phil?
Yeah.
That's a stall sound. The plane is stalling there. So you can see that.
Well, did the guy live?
Oh, yeah. You know, we had one of our technicians who knew how to fly took over. This guy didn't even know how to fly.
1-800-449-8686. Here is, hold on for just a second. We're going to where, to? Cindy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. The gentleman, well, I won't even dignify him calling him a gentleman. I think he's an absolute con man who's trying to rip people off by a book that makes fun of any human being.
Stop making fun
and
of anybody.
I don't even want to hear his voice respond to my comments.
Listen to this.
Anybody who makes comments like, yeah, we're giving 85% and then 70 and then 60, then 50. He is a moron and a con man.
I did not say that. I did not say that.
You certainly did.
I thought you didn't want to respond to my voice.
All right. See, you are a con man.
Well, she said it.
Why do I keep having to hear the sound of that plane stalling?
It's part of the TV show.
You...
Cindy, I'm not conning anybody. Am I forcing you into buying this book?
If I can dignify you with a sir.
Am I forcing you into buying this book? No, I'm not. It's a coffee table book that shows the lighter side to Alzheimer's.
This is no lighter side. Why don't you make fun of young children who have ADHD? Or why don't you make fun of people who have mental illnesses? Or why don't you make fun of people who have cancer and who are dying and are barfing on their beds?
So I'm shocked that this lady would find that funny.
I don't find any of that funny.
Yes, she did. You think it's funny that people are puking with cancer. I don't.
No.
I think Alzheimer's, you brought it up.
You're a king of twisting words.
No, ma'am.
She didn't say that was funny.
She suggested I do a book like that.
That's how low you are, sir. You would make money off of anybody's misfortunes, and for that, I pity you.
I absolutely pity you. You've never had Alzheimer's.
I've never had anybody with Alzheimer's.
All right, then you don't know what you're talking about.
I certainly do. I do not dignify. I don't care what your book's about. I don't care what the topic is, except for the fact you're making fun of ill people and you think it's funny. Sir, you have the problem. You have a problem. Thank you, Phil. I guess
I'll go and slit my wrist now, Phil.
Oh, don't be sarcastic.
Well, she doesn't understand that 40% of all the money that we make from this book is going to go to charity. It's going to help a lot of people.
And the name of the charity is what? You've had the whole news break.
The name of the charity is People with Alzheimer's.
We've just come up with a name for it. Great. And I don't want to hear the plane stalling.
But listen to this. There's a part here, Phil, where you're actually going to hear it go into a dive.
This is a guy with Alzheimer's flying a plane.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to fly. You heard that?
Yeah. Here is Rob on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey. How you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Listen, I just want to tell this guy, I mean, he's blown his credibility right out of the water. I mean, I got in the car, I start listening to the program, he was up around 90% giving money to charity, and honest to God, by the time I pulled into the driveway, he was down to 60 or 65. I mean, you can't come on radio and have any credibility and can't figure out what the percentages are, and this not being able to come up with the name of charity.
If it was 90%,
I mean, you've got to be kidding.
If
that's the purpose of your book, and you can't come up with the name of the charity, like, you got a real problem here. I mean, quite apart from making fun of people
minute,
and getting humor
minute,
out of people with this disability,
you've
got a real problem coming on
hold
the
on,
radio.
Guys, hold on, guys. Nobody's listening to anybody. Here is Karen on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
No, I want to respond to that knucklehead.
No. Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Karen. Yes, go ahead.
I want to respond to another guy.
No.
The same
Karen,
thing.
Go on.
This guy's a moron. He did start
you
out. He could play back the tape because he started out saying 90%. He clearly went down to 85.
No, I did not.
And 75.
No, I said 50, and now...
No, sir. And now you just said you're giving 40% to charity, and you don't know what the name of the frickin' charity is.
It's called the... For the...
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Exactly. You don't even know.
Ma'am, I'm giving...
How embarrassing. What, did you have like 10 minutes before you knew you were coming on the show? Couldn't you have made a little bit more professionalism and done some research?
Ma'am, I am giving...
What are you giving now, 20%?
No, ma'am, 40%. What did I said 40%.
Yeah, why don't you put down your drink and remember what you're saying?
I'm trying to help charity. What are you doing? You're at home taking pot shots.
No, I'm not actually at home. I'm driving home from a very hard day at work. I'm going in to raise three kids.
What's the name of the charity?
Alzheimer's.
What's the name of the charity?
It's called the House of Confusion. It's a place where people can get help for having, you know, Alzheimer's.
Well, let me tell you, there's absolutely nothing funny about a guy jumping over a counter and getting shot by the police. Ha ha.
Ma'am,
you're freaking sick. You have major, major issues.
He thought they were Japanese and it was Iwo Jima.
And that is hysterical that he got shot by a police officer.
Let me tell you something. I've got one of our writers.
He was not right in his mind?
Ma'am, I've got one of the men who contributed to this book. His name is Lloyd Bonafide. He's on the other line. Carrie, put him on. And Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Now, do you have Alzheimer's?
No, sir, I don't. I contributed stories of people that I know.
People that this guy knows. Tell us some of the stories.
Well, wait a minute. Lloyd, I want to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
You know people...
Hey, well, I'm done with him. I think he's
You know people with Alzheimer's, huh?
Yeah, I knew a guy, Dick Steelworth, lived next door to me. And I went out one day, and he apparently had rolled out his daughter's slip and slide and had nothing on but a T-shirt. And...
Hello?
And then he, you know, went on a slip and slide with a T-shirt flying up.
And it's a riot, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's a riot.
You know, he's peeing all over it. Now.
Oh, man.
Look, Phil, let me just play one more time. This is a big part for the thing. It storms out.
Yeah, I know. And then he goes, whoa, ho, 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 ho.
Just listen. Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, that's our fall. It'll be a replacement show this fall on the WB. Alzheimer's can be fun, and we'll just follow. It'll be a reality show. It'll be fantastic.
All right, well, good luck. How much money is going?
About 15%. I forget.
Good luck to you, Bob. Bob McGraw, Alzheimer's, The Lighter Side. This is The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. The voice of Bob McGraw was performed by me in the preceding bit, and of course I perform my own voice, but the people who call in, those are real people. And we have a new affiliate relations guy here with our network, and actually he works on the Jim Rome Show, and he walked in today and he said, really love your show, Phil. Now that Clara, where did she call from? I said, well, that's me. And he stood there looking stunned, and then he went off to sell Jim's show. So you see, even the guys that work here don't quite believe it. They just don't. And I had, like I mentioned, the guy that was in Salt Lake City said, okay, now tell me how many of those people that call are really not set up. And I said, no, they're all real people. I have this fear. I have a fear that the envy that a lot of people feel for this program, not my listeners, but other people in the business, will eventually, it'll turn on me somehow. Someone's going to claim that I paid them to call the show. I do know hosts that pay callers. I know of a lot of hosts that actually pay people to call their show. I don't want to mention any names, comb over boy, but I know a lot of them. Tons and tons. The names would shock you. The names and faces have been changed to protect the dumbass. Okay, our number 1-800-449-8686. Say, friends, if you want to see us do our show on Friday night, come on out to the Luxor in Las Vegas. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from wherever you live. I don't care where you live, on the East Coast, in the Southeast, on the far Northwest Coast, wherever. Las Vegas is just a plane ride away, and in many cases, a very inexpensive plane ride away. But when you get to Vegas, have we got a package for you? How's this for two nights? $348. This is two nights for two people. Two nights for two people. But in addition to the two nights for two people at the Luxor, you'll get to see our VIP broadcast of the Phil Hendry Show. You'll get to be a part of the Phil Hendry Show happy hour. The following night, Saturday night, you'll be a part of our Blues and Brews party. We'll have some contesting. We'll have some dancing. We'll have some drinking. Then you'll also be allowed a couple of passes to the Oasis Spa. You'll have two passes to the King Tut Museum. And when we're done with our VIP parties in the beautiful, sumptuous, magnificent Raw nightclub at the Luxor, you'll have free admission into the Raw itself following our parties. So when all the degenerates, when all of the fine people come in from Vegas, from the Strip, and wherever, you'll be able to party with them for free. Now, to get this package, it's only $348, and all you have to do is call 1-800-288-1000. I'm told that just a few are remaining. 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. It's a VIP party, and there will be no tickets at the door. Although, well, you guys who are living locally in Las Vegas, I know, no? Really? It's only a package deal. I thought some of the Vegas people, the people that live in Vegas. No? All right, forget it. I got the big wave off from a man. It's a package deal. No package, no get in. No get in, no see. No see, no smart. No smart, no friends. But we will have a Phil Hendry cutout outside so you can stare at that. How about that? 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Diana. Hi, Diana.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. I was actually calling when I was listening to you before you were talking about your Vegas show, about how you do your voices.
Right.
And I can call and attest that I was one of those suckers who called up one day just to Raisin Cane.
Well, no problem.
And I believed it, hook, line, and sinker, but I just love your show. I think it's awesome.
Well, now, how long did it take you before you figured out what the hell was going on in this show?
Well, I knew. I've known for, you know, several weeks that I've been listening, probably a couple months now, that they're all fake. So,
no, but when you, how long did it take you before you found out it was fake?
Oh, probably a week.
That's a little long, Diana.
Well, you know what the thing is, I'm not in my car all the time, okay. And that's mostly when I listen to you.
I want you to do something. All right, I want you to do something for me, okay?
Okay, what's that?
Roll your eyes and stare at the ceiling. Okay, just do this for, okay? You doing that?
All right, I'm driving,
now,
I'll try.
Now beat the middle of your chest with the back of your wrist. Okay? All right,
okay.
Thank you, Diana, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-800-449-8686. What's that, RC?
Mungo!
All right. Roll your eyes to the ceiling and beat the middle of you. You know, I have so many people who say this phrase to me. Why do you tell people what's going on your show? It sounds so bad. It just, I understand. I agree with you. But I'm not about to sit here and suffer with people saying, oh, that guy, he hires actors, or this cat, you know, he's got such weird guests. I'm not going to sit there and do that. I'm going to let people know what's going on with this radio show so we can take all of the magnificent credit for this program. Oh, no time for our flashback, huh? I ran out of time. Well, that's good, because that can give us a little opportunity to talk about what's been happening in the news and a lot of things, including the speech that Daschle gave today calling President Bush a man politicizing the war in Iraq. And there was also some statements made by Al Gore yesterday that this is no time to fight a war in Iraq. Just once, I'd like to have all these guys say, yeah, okay, let's do it. Just one time. We're going to go in, kick some ass, come out, get back to the business of being Americans. Everybody thinks that it's not a possibility. It's extending us too far. It's taking our resources and extending them too far into the world, and suddenly we'll be like Rome. Our supply lines will be stretched out, and we'll be nothing more than a clumsy juggernaut that can't operate internationally any longer. Bullcrap. All we got to do is fly in, drop a few atom bombs, and leave. And you do that before anybody can get upset about it. Now, that, to me, is a perfect, in my opinion, a very perfect way of pleasing both Democrats and Republicans. There's no long-term commitment with troops. There's no long-term commitment in terms of supply lines. We simply launch a bomber off of one of the many aircraft carriers that we now have there in the Indian Ocean, drop a few atomic bombs, and leave. No fuss, no muss. And you can do it with a megatonnage, I should say, that will not create a fallout zone that is far-reaching. I think you can protect most of the innocent people of that part of the world. Not all. Some of it may drift into Syria. But, you know, you can't have everything. But I think that will make, speaking as a Democrat, I think it'll make members of my party happy. It'll make members of the respectful Republican Party happy. Fly in, drop a couple of atom bombs, leave. One on Baghdad? I don't know. Where else is there anything else worth dropping an A-bomb on? And then leave. Why we don't do that, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Since when is using nuclear weapons such a bad thing when the country using them is a responsible, civilized entity? What's wrong with that? Now, when we used them in World War II, that was a little much. We could have dropped it on something other than a populated city like Hiroshima or Nagasaki. We could have maybe dropped it on, a place where hardly anybody lives, like, say, the Philippines. But instead, I think it was kind of a bad thing. But a civilized entity like America using atomic weapons, nothing wrong with it at all. Especially when you're dropping it on a military site, like Baghdad. Isn't that whole town just one big military encampment? So I would ask the president to consider that, and that way everybody's happy, and before anybody can get pissed off, the planes are landing on the aircraft carrier, everybody's on their way home, Saddam Hussein is in an ashtray. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, speaking of bombs. Go to our website. No, it's really a fun website, and you can check out our Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirts and our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary T-shirts. These are tremendous little items, and as well our best of CDs. Our 2002 is coming out. It's the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. All of our audio available to you there as well. Check it all out. Get a backstage pass. The Phil Hendry Show website.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Larry, tell me about what's going on. You work in a print shop. You're working in the print shop right now.
Yeah, Phil, I'm at the Culver City Print, which is where I work. I was manager, but right now I'm working at the crew of four other women who are ladies I've worked with for a year. One of the gals that isn't single, but married woman, came in with something called an ultrasound, if you've ever heard of this.
A photograph of her unborn child?
That's a way of putting it. To me, I think it's a little intrusive. This is some kind of an X-ray of her womb that shows a fetus floating in her womb. And if it doesn't put you off your food, it really is an intrusive photograph. I think there is it's a privacy issue. But that's really not the problem. The problem started when I had asked out a couple of the gals that I work with, and they had turned me down. And most of the women that I work with...
Now, of the women you work with how many? Four and three are single?
One of them is married, the lady who brought in this ultrasound.
And you asked out three of them?
I asked out the other three individually, and none of them will have anything to do with me, which is a little bit insulting. But then when this gal, and I was told not to mention her last name, her first name is Llewellyn.
Okay.
Brought in her ultrasound and hung it up on the bulletin board to show her kid, all three of these gals went over there and spent 2 lunch hours and 2 pretty significant coffee breaks as well, 2 business days basically, Phil, looking at this ultrasound, and it is really, it's disgusting to me.
Now, an ultrasound, Larry, and you have filed for sexual harassment?
No, well, let me finish the story. I then brought in a photograph of myself when I was a child because I thought wrongly that these women were looking at the baby in the womb in this ultrasound.
Right.
And I got comments like, you look like you were sucked through a straw, a lot of things that are offensive and were hurtful about me, the baby picture that I had. So that's when I brought in the photograph of my penis and put it on the bulletin board.
All right, now why have you not been sued for sexual harassment?
I instituted the action with my company.
All right, so you went to your company and you said you were being sexually harassed. Why?
Because this gal brought in an ultrasound showing all of her private parts hanging out, showing her uterus, and I thought that she wanted to show her babies, but these women are looking at it. In my opinion, I think that's what it was about.
Well, now, an ultrasound is an X-ray, is it not?
It is a black and white.
And it's an interior shot of a woman's uterus, correct?
Yeah, yes, but you can make out other things. To me, it's very private. It's nothing you bring into work. And when I finally figured out why this gal brought this in...
Well, are you telling me that she brought it in to show her private area to other women?
Well, no. But I think that's what she's doing. You can see the outline of the hips. You can see the outline of the buttock. You can see a lot. You can still see the gal's bones and the bones where the parts are. And I think, so that's what I said, it's sexual harassment.
And you said you were being sexually harassed even though you brought in a photograph of your penis and put it on the board.
That is right.
Why did you bring that photograph?
Because if she's going to show her very private area, that I will do the same thing.
Has anybody been fired?
Not to this point. State law in California says that if anybody has filed a sexual harassment complaint, they cannot be terminated. So both of us have sort of filed these claims against each other.
Well, all of this started when the women in your office didn't want to go out for you.
Well, it's tit for tat, sir. Tit for tat.
Yeah, but this started when the women didn't want to go out with you.
No, they didn't pay any attention to me. When I asked the three of them out, one of the gals, I asked her out, and she didn't even hear me. She kept on working. This is very hurtful. Another gal who I asked out laughed. This is hurtful.
I'm sorry for that, sir.
And so on. So I didn't know what I was doing wrong. So when this gal brought in her ultrasound, I thought they wanted to see the baby. I brought a baby picture of myself, and one of them said I looked like I was a canned ham. Another one said I looked like I was sucked through a straw. And so on.
And then you brought in the picture of your penis.
Then I brought that in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. 1-800-449-8686. I know you're taking time out from your work there. You're working in a print shop in Culver City?
In Culver City, Cal. I'm on Washington Boulevard.
And you are in the middle of a sexual harassment. Are you making the claim that a woman who puts an ultrasound photograph on a bulletin board where she works is putting up something obscene?
I am making the claim that she may not know it, but she is putting up something that is very private. You can make out, you can see everything, and that's why I made the point, and I think I made it very well, Mr. Henry, that, okay, you want to come in with an ultrasound and pretend like you want to show everybody your kid, but what you're really showing them is everything? Then I'm going to come in with a photograph of my private area, and I'll show them, too. It's the exact same shot, by the way. These ultrasound photographs are the exact same shot that you get in any copy of Hustler, except it's in black and white.
I've never seen an ultrasound photograph. Yes, I have. I saw one in Atlanta. One of the one of the women of the news department had a baby, and she and it just it looks like a profile shot.
Well, it's a profile shot, but you can see everything.
Now, don't you think it's a little juvenile and a little bit offensive to bring in a photograph of your penis and put it on? And by the way, who took that?
I took it the night before with a Polaroid.
You took it of yourself?
That is correct.
Don't you think that's juvenile?
Well, you know, in any other given situation, I would agree with you. Yes, it is juvenile. But I was making a point, Phil. First of all, they ignore me and they won't go out with me. Secondly, they make fun of the baby picture that I brought in to show them of me when I was a baby so they could see that I was cute, too. Thirdly, they laugh at me and make fun of the baby picture. And so then I bring in this photograph to make the point that if you're going to show an ultrasound, you're showing guys your private area, you're showing them everything. That's why I put up the picture of my penis.
Don't you think that's immature?
I think I've answered your question.
No, you haven't, because you can make the point simply by going over to them and saying, excuse me, would you mind terribly if you take that ultrasound down because it's I think it's offensive?
No, because then they just make fun of you and they don't do anything.
But, and by the way, I'm going to have to tell you this much, Larry. I see a lot of these pictures of ultrasounds or women bring them in or whatever, you know. There's places where you can actually go and have them done. I don't know what you're talking about when you say it's obscene.
Well, if you look very carefully, you can see that the, you know, babe, you can see the place where the baby was made. All right? You know, babies don't just happen. There, you know, God doesn't sprinkle fairy dust and go, ooh, make a baby happen. There's a place where they make them.
I understand that.
All right. That's why when you come in with an ultrasound, you can see everything.
All right, here's the number, 1-800-449-8686. Do you agree that ultrasound pictures, when they're displayed in the office, are obscene or offensive? Rosie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Henry, good evening.
Good evening.
I just wanted to let this guy know that he has no idea what he's talking about. I have had two children, and I have several ultrasounds. The ultrasounds
do you not show. Do you hang them up in the office for everybody to get sick by?
Well, I wouldn't do it, but
that's my point.
I wouldn't do it, but if the girl wanted to do it, he had every right to do it. If she was so excited and she was so happy about it, there was no problem. The ultrasound does not show any private parts.
It might show
just the bones. But, sir, there's no private parts shown at all.
Don't you think it's a little intimate to show a man your baby-making area?
Sir, you have a very sick attitude. That is a beautiful blessing from God.
All right, let me ask you this question. I think it's fair. If you think it's a beautiful blessing, then why doesn't she bring in photographs of how the baby was made?
All right, come on.
No, it's
that
just...
That is ridiculous, sir.
No, why is that ridiculous?
You're making yourself look
like an ignorant peasant that
has no idea about anything.
Explain to me the difference. If you want to bring
sir,
in pictures of the baby making area.
You're ignorant, sir.
Well,
very
ignorant. You can call me names, but you haven't explained yourself. It makes her look like a whore showing everybody the baby making area.
Why don't we get to the point of this? The reason that you're saying this is those girls didn't want to go out with you.
I asked those ladies out, and they looked at me like like there was a smell coming off of me. But the minute this woman brings in some ultrasound of some kid she's growing, oh, look at that. And they hung around the bulletin board, and I said that we had the barley wedding invitations that we had to get done. We also had to do the flyer for the Finaggy Yacht Club, and there was the dinner and dance
flyer. Your male ego was hurt, sir. That's it. Your male ego.
All right, so
and
then
you're trying to hurt these people just because you were hurt as a man.
Be a man, sir, and
don't do stupid things like that.
Why is it more cute to have a picture of an ultrasound than my baby picture? Why is that more cute?
Well, I don't know what the answer to that is. I've never seen your baby picture.
All right, so a kid still developing in the womb is better looking than me after I've been popped out. Because that's what they said.
All right, but then you took out revenge by bringing in a picture of your private area and hanging it up there.
By making a point. And this is satire, okay?
We're going to talk about satire now, huh?
This is satire. I'm satirizing the fact that she brought in ultrasound, of her baby. I had an Italian hoagie.
Yeah, please.
All right. that she brought in a picture of an ultrasound and everything hanging out.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman, Larry Grove, this is an interesting sexual harassment claim because the women in his office and he have filed counterclaims against each other for sexual harassment. He claims he was sexually harassed by these women because she brought in her ultrasound, which showed, and for those of you who don't know what an ultrasound is, it's basically an X-ray of a woman's stomach, so you can see the baby developing inside. He thought that was obscene and sexually harassing her hanging down on the bulletin board. He turned around and after a few weeks or some other behavior, hung up a picture of his private area. And so the two are going back and forth. Do you find pictures of ultrasounds offensive in your office place? Do they, as this man put it, put you off your lunch? Do you think that they're obscene? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But I don't think you could do that.
Well, I believe it is my right. If that woman is going to bring that baby into the office, then I have the right, satirically, to have my mother wrap my penis in a blanket, and I'll come in the same way. Because
it's not the same thing. You're talking about a woman with an ultrasound. It's a photograph of the baby. 1-800-449-8686. Anna, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. We're with Larry Grover, and there is a counter sexual harassment suit going on in Culver City. Go ahead, Anna.
Oh, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you sick? What makes you think people want to see your penis?
Well, why do I want to see her privates when she comes in with her ultrasound with everything hanging out?
You know, I don't know if you have any kids or if you even have a wife or a girlfriend for that matter, but whenever you're pregnant, it doesn't show your private part. It shows your uterus. And when you're not pregnant, it's about the size of a pea.
And what makes her think I want to come in with a perfectly good ham sandwich, sit down to lunch, and have to look up at that?
Have you ever heard of eating at a restaurant?
Wait a second. Nah, see, now I got you. Oh, so she can come in with her ultrasound, but if I want to come in with a picture of Jenna Jameson or Chris...
Was it in her office?
It was on the bulletin board in the general area where we do the printing.
Well, usually when people get pregnant and they see the first picture of their child, they're usually happy about it. Now, if you didn't want to see it, don't look at it.
Oh,
but
really?
It doesn't
okay.
show anybody's
well,
private part.
If they don't want to look at my penis, don't look at it. See?
Have you ever seen, like... I got her.
Wait a minute. Let the lady talk.
Yeah, but I just made a point she can't argue against.
Please, I have a boy and a girl, and I'm pregnant with another boy. You can hardly, barely even see the little private parts, if that, and they have to look for it.
I'm not talking about the child's private parts.
She took up there and put a picture of the ultrasound showing the penis on there.
It was probably a picture of the baby.
Are you jealous?
It's a picture of her uterus, and that's the baby-making place.
That's what I'm talking about. I hate to bust it to you. I don't know. You've obviously never had sex as the vagina, not the uterus.
I beg your pardon, but I know that there are women and children listening, so I'm not as vulgar as you.
Right.
Obviously, you are taking a picture of your penis.
I did that because she's in there showing us what she's got.
Wait. It's been a long time since I've seen an ultrasound. Are you saying that when a woman hangs up a picture of an ultrasound, you can see her genitals?
Yes.
No, you
yes,
cannot.
You can. Yes,
it
you
only
can.
Shows
yes,
the inside
can.
Of a uterus.
How come I got excited? Now, that is an autonomic response.
Maybe you're just sick.
No, that is an autonomic response.
No, it is not.
Every man gets excited when he sees it.
Well, you better not
and
come
why?
To my house because I have pictures of my ultrasound on the refrigerator. And my
oh,
husband
boy.
Mike's looking
and,
at them.
And
you know what? He's a doctor.
When's the last time anybody in your house kept their lunch down? See,
you know what?
Question.
They come over there and eat all the time. We have company over all the time.
You know
we entertain
happening?
A lot.
Your
my husband
sense.
Is a physician. Everybody likes looking at baby pictures.
Not when the thing is like a lizard in a bag. No, we don't.
Oh, sir, sir. Do you have children?
I have four.
You have four kids?
Yes.
What are you doing asking women out?
And how old are they?
My wife and I are separated and have been for 4 years.
So you're divorced?
I'm separated, yes, sir.
How old are your kids?
I haven't seen my kids in a number of years because my wife couldn't take the fact that I was trying to get Clinton out of office, and she left and won't let me see the kids.
Well, I don't know how ultrasound has come along after your kids were born, but...
Ma'am, you're telling me that every time you have company,
you bring up the size of yourself.
That's great.
I'll tell you, I don't know what hers looks like because I'm obviously not there and I can't see it.
Well,
mine has a baby's head, and you can see his vertebrae. It looks like a string of pearls. All you can see is the outline of a skeleton. So I don't know what you're looking at, what you think you're looking at.
And you can see his thing, too.
Oh, come on. It's a baby.
No, you cannot.
It's a little baby, and I thought you were talking about the woman.
See, why do you take the part of the people that call in?
I want you to calm down for a minute.
The ultrasound is not an x-ray.
Yeah, I want you to
calm down. It is.
It's a picture of the woman with her butt. You can see the butt. Tell me you can't see her butt.
Okay.
You cannot see her butt.
All right, thanks for your call. I want you to calm down because...
Don't tell me to calm down, Mr. Henry.
Hold on, because you may have some points here, but you're not making them very well. If you're offended by the woman's ultrasound picture, you go to your boss, you say, I'd rather not have that picture hanging up, okay?
I wanted to be a good co-worker.
Okay, you wanted to be a good co-worker, but they had more interest in the ultrasound picture than they did in you.
And that part I don't get.
Maybe that photograph of a baby in a uterus is more interesting than you are. I don't know. Then you come in with a picture of yourself as a baby, thinking that that will make them your friend.
Yes.
And they make cracks that you looked as a baby like something had been sucked through a straw or a canned ham.
Yes, they did.
So then, hurt by that, you came in with a picture of a penis. You did it out of anger.
No, sir, there's where you're wrong. There's where you're wrong. I did not do it out of anger. I did it as a satirical statement on the fact that you can see her butt. And my mother told me that I had a fine-looking penis.
Okay, please, forget your mom, all right? Forget...
Well, sir, Mr. Henry, you're not allowing me to state my case. The fact is, the sexual harassment, and my company agrees with me because they have allowed for both cases to be filed.
Do you think an ultrasound, and you have four children?
Yes.
And you think an ultrasound is obscene?
I think it's an extremely private photograph that should be only shared with friends and family, not dragged into an office, stuck up on a wall, so that everyone can walk by, look at it, and dry heave into a waste paper basket. No, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The ultrasound, it's the new picture that people bring into the office. Have you seen my baby that isn't born yet? He thinks it's obscene, and he countered by bringing in a picture of his own penis. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, with me is Larry Grover. Larry is works in a print shop. And all of this started about 3 weeks ago when a woman came in with an ultrasound photograph of her unborn baby, and he was upset because all the women were interested in that and not him. How do you, and then you decided to bring in a picture of yourself as a baby to show them how cute you were, and they didn't think you were that cute, and finally you got angry and you brought in a picture of your penis.
That's it. But you went around the reasons.
I just want. How do you dress?
How do I dress?
Yeah.
I dress in a t-shirt and you mean for work?
Yeah.
I dress in a t-shirt and jeans because I have a fairly dirty job. But I also come to work though, and I'm very friendly. My mother makes me a bologna sandwich and some chicken soup, and I'll sit in the stock room. And a lot of times I'll offer the ladies if they'd like to have a half of the sandwich. I also invited one of the gals. I had tickets for the auto show, and I had two bus transfers that we could use, so I put out a fair amount of money, and she didn't want to go out with me. So that proves that a lot of women just don't know what quality is, and I can tell you right now, the photo, by the way, of my penis was taken by my mother. So it shows that we were a family that is not at all sick.
Your mother took it.
Yeah. because it wasn't about being sick, okay?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Teresa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
My point is, if he wanted to be fair, why didn't he bring in an ultrasound picture of his testicles?
If I wanted to be what?
If you wanted to be fair, if you wanted to fight fire with fire, why didn't you bring in an ultrasound picture of your testicles?
Well, there's no difference between an ultrasound and just a spread and hustler.
Oh, no, but there is, because you can't go into a doctor's office and just have them take a snapshot of your belly and see the baby.
No, because it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
No, it's so, not.
Yeah, it
That's
is.
Why it's called an ultrasound.
All right, let me ask you something. How come when I see her ultrasound, I got excited? Now, that's an autonomic... That's an autonomic reaction.
Well, you know, I kind of got my doubts pulled up when you said that your wife had left you because you were trying to get Clinton out of office. It sounds like you need to be his right-hand man. You both had the same story. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, get a load of you. Get a load of you. I bet you call all the talk shows with your Republican, with your, you know, your, what do you call it?
What? Talking to...
Yeah. You know,
no, actually,
you know,
this
I
is
bet
the first
you call all
I've never been so offended by someone so stubborn-minded.
No, I'm not stubborn-minded.
What is that sound?
Okay, your mother's taking some more shots of me. Go ahead.
Okay,
mother.
When your wife had ultrasounds done, did you not look at the ultrasounds and go, wow,
my wife would never degrade herself. My wife would never drag herself for the sewer. So
you know,
as to have a ultrasound.
That's bullcrap. Every doctor takes an ultrasound, whether or not he takes
true.
A picture.
That's true, but...
She saw the baby. Was he not there?
She didn't hang it up for the... She didn't put it on a billboard so that everybody in rush hour could look at it and dry heave.
Well, I guess she wasn't excited as having a child with you as normal people are having children with normal people.
Well, you know, my wife was excited for all of our children, but...
What is the photographing sound?
I'm having some more pictures taken. I'm having some more pictures taken. Or is that not my right? Everybody else gets to have their thing photographed so you can see their undeveloped kid.
Oh, no.
Pictures
my thing
of what?
Never photographed. That's against the law.
Get my right side. It looks longer. What? What?
My gynecologist did not take pictures of my business. He, in fact...
How do you know? How do you know? I bet you when you got your legs up in the stirrups, I bet you had a hidden camera in a drawer and started firing
on my, I was laid flat on my back with my legs closed and a sheet up to my belly button.
How do you know he didn't have a picture that was underneath the table? And
what, are you nuts or something? What is this woman these questions for? Who's taking these pictures?
Mother, that's enough.
Your mother?
Yes. My mother. A woman
your
I
mother
love.
Is as thick as you are.
Is your mother there at the print shop with you, too? I'm listening to print.
We got a special job we're doing here, the Bartley marriage.
So you're over there nude getting your penis photographed while you're also working. What
yeah, that may be
case.
Why you're with your mother.
I bet you they doped you up and posed you with a donkey or something.
Teresa, thank you for your call. What an insult.
Well, she made fun of me.
1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Cassandra, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead with Larry Grover.
Hi.
Hi, Cassandra.
I just want to say that this guy is angering women everywhere. There has been women calling in since the very beginning, and that's been just about it.
Oh, because you guys are allowed to have pictures of everything hanging out, but I can't.
Well, that's a totally different story. We're not talking about hanging pornography up on the bulletin board
can
at
I
all.
Can I ask you something? Are you from Minnesota?
No, I'm not.
Because you said a boot.
I'm
well,
from
whatever.
Canada.
She's from Canada.
Oh, I got you.
There's
I knew
nothing
a guy,
wrong with
I,
Canada.
No, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I knew a guy I used to shoot pool with over here. He was from, are you anywhere near Wellington or Hamilton?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's where he was from.
Okay, well, that's good.
That's great.
That's irrelevant
do
right
you,
now.
Do you people get the, but you in Canada, do you get the ultrasounds because I...
Of course they do.
Yes, we get
know.
Ultrasounds and
on, yes.
We're very proud of pictures of babies. That's what we're talking about. We're
so
not talking
words,
about a picture of
and
her.
And I want
we're
to be clear of this. Canada, the land of the maple leaf, one of the greatest allies and greatest friends this country could ever have, committed men in World War II and in the Afghanistan campaign. You've got pictures of your women with their stuff hanging out on bulletin boards in your offices. Is that what I'm led to believe?
No, it's not like that at all. We have pictures of babies on our bulletin boards in offices. And you better hope that the judge that you get is not a woman, because she's just going to be outraged.
She's going to be outraged, huh?
Well, you knock it off with your cornball bullcrap, outraged, and everything else. Okay, what is this, the I Love Lucy show?
We all know I'm Canadian, and that's not what I'm calling to tell you.
I know, that's okay, Cassandra. You're making a very good point. The fact is that women see this as a very... You done yet?
Yeah. That's it.
The fact is that this is a...
Hold on, I want to get a shot of me. There it is.
And he said earlier that...
Now, Mom, get me bending over this saddle.
Go ahead, Cassandra.
He said earlier that he was a good coworker.
Right.
And I heard that, and obviously he wasn't. Like, I wouldn't want to work with anyone who was hanging up pictures of themselves on the bulletin board like that.
All right, well, then don't bring in pictures of you with some mutant inside of you, and I got to sit there and try
you
to get you a bologna sandwich.
You have four kids, you're calling children mutants?
All right, now, Mom, get me posing with the Maple Leaf flag. We'll send it to this caller.
All right, Cassandra, thank you. You made some very good points. I appreciate your phone call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-800-449-8686. And, Larry, I can only tell you that you got a long, hard...
Thank you.
...road, I was going to say.
Oh.
You have a long, hard road to go, and...
You want me to wink? I'll wink with a brown eye.
Will you shut up and listen to me? You've got a long, hard road with this lawsuit because... You have done something, I think, egregious. Taking a picture of yourself like that, hanging it up, that's number one. And number two, this nonsense about women's ultrasounds being obscene. I don't think it's very manly of you. And what you ought to do is, if women don't want to go out with you, quit wearing a T-shirt and jeans to work. Maybe wipe some of the bologna and mustard off of your face before you ask them out. And when you do ask them out, don't wave bus transfers under their nose and go, look, I've got transfers.
Oh, wow. Excuse me, Hugh Hefner. I didn't know.
I'm not Hugh Hefner. I'm a married man. It's been a long time since I've been out dating, but when I did date, I think I offered a woman a little something more.
There you go with your penis jokes again.
Never mind. 1-800, we'll be back after this break. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, wait, we got another call. I forgot about Eric, you there?
Yeah.
All right, get Mr. Grover back if we can. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
Larry, are you there?
Yeah, what's your point, Eric?
Yeah, Larry, you said in the beginning here that you used to be a manager and now you're working with these four women. What happened to the manager's position?
I can't hear you. What did you say?
Hello?
Yeah, what did you say?
Yeah, what happened to his manager's position?
You talking to me?
Larry?
Yeah, you talking to me?
Yeah. What happened to the manager's position?
I don't have that job anymore.
You don't have that job anymore. So now you're forced to work with women that you have a problem?
Have you ever seen an ultrasound?
What? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. The ultrasound is about 6 inches above the vagina. So I don't understand what you think you're seeing.
Wait a second. You're telling me that what I'm looking at isn't what I think I'm looking at?
That's right.
Well, then what could it be?
What is it?
Yeah.
You're looking at the uterus. So obviously you have a problem there.
Okay, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, now do you have it, Larry?
I do.
What an idiot.
Are you there, Larry?
No.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. The voice of Larry Grover was actually performed by me, Phil Hendry. Was there anybody who called in the last hour that didn't know that? Call me back. If you're listening to me right now and you had called in this preceding hour and you thought you were talking to a real guy, call me back. I want to talk to you. Because Larry wasn't real. 1-800-449-8686. One of the people that we talked to on the air, Chris. One of the people we talked to on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Vegas. Yeah. I haven't got the Vegas clue. That's why I'm going to Vegas. 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Call that number. Get the Phil Hendry package. Join us in Las Vegas Friday night. We got a lot of people coming. We got a couple of packages left. Call in. Join us. You'll get two nights at the Luxor for two. Two nights for two, along with tickets to the Oasis Spa, tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission to the Raw Nightclub after our parties, VIP passes to our parties, Blues and Brews party on Saturday night, the broadcast on Friday night, a Hendry happy hour on Friday night, and all that. Plus, you'll get a special gift from me. We're going to have a couple of contests. We're going to have some gift packages to give away. It's going to be definitely a cool thing. That number again, 1-800-288-1000. $348. What a deal. Now, from yesterday's show, Margaret Gray joined us to talk about how she couldn't stand all of the people that are now in first class. It used to be the actors. Now it's all of those people like you and I.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hi, Margaret. I just want you to know that I think it is appalling, and you're making me so livid with your ramping and raging about first class and how it's only a special place for all of these, you know, famous quote-unquote people. What about people like me? I fly all over the world for my job. I earn my upgrades. I earn my points. And I earn also money flying all over. So, yeah, there are times I have to pay for it. But what about me working my butt off, staying away from my family and earning points so that I can be bumped up, sleep, snooze a little better, so on and so forth.
Catherine, have you ever heard of business class? That's a perfectly wonderful place for people like you.
Yeah, but what about a lot of the airlines, you know, don't have a business class.
That's right.
It's coach or first.
It's either coach or business class. I mean, sometimes...
Catherine, can I ask you, are you in the entertainment business?
No, I am not.
Well, then what has this got to do with you? What I'm saying is our actor and actress were able at one time to travel in anonymity.
Well, then why don't you, since you're such an actress, why don't you go out with your actors and actresses, your coworkers, and go buy a plane, go rent one, and fly in style that way? There are plenty of CEOs out there doing that. There are plenty of deputy chairmen doing that. Why don't you guys get your money together, since you're multimillionaires,
and don't worry about
these stewardesses, which are flight attendants, by the way.
No, they are stewardesses, because there was a time, Catherine, back in the days when it was a very classy and wonderfully chic thing to do to fly. We called them stewardesses, and they liked it. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't think we have to go to the extreme. There's a happy medium. You people go back to coach. We reserve first class for what it used to be, quality, class, style, entertainment. And you people can...
You know, I don't like the way you say you people.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I really...
You people, that's just...
Well, I'm saying you people who
You're not the president of the United States, okay?
No, I know that. Now, he has his own plane. I'm talking about those of us, our actor... Did you see Jennifer Aniston on the Emmys?
Yes.
She didn't get a wink of sleep because she had to wait, because first class was booked on two flights out of New York.
Now, okay, her money and with Brad Pitt's money and with, you know, however else they make in their $30 million homes or whatever, why can't they? I know how much it costs in order to rent a jet, in order to buy a jet,
The actor and actress brings more to our lives than just entertainment. For many of us, they bring a reason to go on, a reason to crawl on. And I would respectfully submit to you, Catherine, that for what Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston have given you, it is a small thing indeed to say, all right, I'll sit and
coach. What about the small thing that we do for you actors, like doing your accounting?
Well, I'm not an actor. I'm
cleaning your houses, like helping you buy, realty. I mean, it's not just you guys and then all the other people. I mean, we do a lot for you guys. We are able, should be able, to be exposed to the same things you guys are.
So in other words, ironing a shirt is the same as the brilliant performance that Brad Pitt gave us in Legends of the Fall. Are you really trying to say something like that?
Wait a minute, I got to jump in here. Ironing a shirt is ironing a shirt, okay?
No housekeeper flies first class.
I'm not. You're the one who's going on to... No, I'm talking about people, okay? What about the people that promote you, promote Brad, and got Brad to where he is? We are, as you know, the people that make him look pretty, that help him buy his house, okay, his realtor, the people that chaperone him around, the people that get him his flight, you know, his tickets, everything else.
Absolutely.
Why doesn't Paramount, why doesn't whomever they decide they want to work with buy a plane, and for the people that work for Paramount can then use the plane?
Catherine, here is a woman, Jennifer Aniston, Emmy Award winner, looking like she had to sit between Binta and Toby in Coach. Now, Brad Pitt gave us one of the most moving performances of the year in Snatch. And you're trying to tell me...
Well, you forget about Snatch and Legend of the Fall.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You cut it off early? Was there anything funny in it? I'm kidding. 1-800-449-8686. Let me talk here to Teresa. Teresa, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Yeah, your car phone just ain't making it. But you called last hour and you thought that... hello? Yeah.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. That Larry Grover was a real guy? Uh-huh.
That was the most vulgar, bull-headed man I had ever heard in my life.
I can't understand a word she's saying. I don't even think she knows what she's talking. I don't even think she's aware that Larry's a fake. Yeah, but does she know that Larry was fake and it was me doing the voice? Well, she doesn't sound like it to me. She doesn't sound like it to me. Send her a letter, will you? She sounds like she's completely befuddled. All right, 1-800-449-8686. More of this brilliantly entertaining show coming up in a few minutes on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know why you guys are waiting for a tropical storm Izzy, or is it Isadora? And that is in the Gulf. We have the other problem on the West Coast. We have fire and heat, and it has been hot. It was like yesterday 110, and the day before it was 110. I don't know what it was today, but it's been hotter than I can remember it being in a lot of years. Now, growing up out here, I remember fires every year. And I even remember as a kid going outside and sitting on the curb with a big box of Milk Duds and watching the whole Angeles Forest just going up. Now, I'm talking about growing up in the town of Arcadia, which is in the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains. And that's no more than just a few miles, really, from the foothills, 5 miles. Then you go back up into the hills, and you're pretty much into National Forest. And I remember asking, hey, can I go out? Mommy, can I go outside, watch the mountain burn down? Go ahead, you know. And we just sit there and watch it just blazing every year. I remember the Bel Air fire and looking at all the movie stars hosing their rooftops off. And then there was the Malibu fire. And I don't know how many Malibu fires we've had and how many Angeles National Forest fires we've had. But every year, this is the month, man, when the fires rage. And in 93, and I was not here, I was in Minnesota at the time, 93, the film shots of L.A. back then, were you here, Janice? You were up in Canada? It was like you couldn't even believe it. The Malibu fire was incredible. And I came here right after that, Christmas time, to play in a golf tournament. And the flame, the charred brush, reached all the way down to PCH. Right down to Pacific Coast Highway, it was black. And you could see a couple of the stores that were spared, some of the stores and some of the homes that were spared. How, I don't know, it's miraculous that there were no fire had touched it, but you could see that the charred brush came all the way down to Pacific Coast Highway. And all of that charred, blackened, ruined, and destroyed area, Janice, is where you live right now. Okay, moving along. Nice going. Way to pick out that good place to live. You know, the only guy dumber than you is me, where I live. Where my home is, I back up to what is called California Fair Plan. And just so you guys know, if you have hurricane insurance, you're able to get that, I'm sure, through your carrier if you have other kinds of insurance. In the state of California, though, there are some areas of the state where an insurance company won't touch you. They will not go near you. They will dunk pound cake at the Waldorf Astoria and sniff a scented handkerchief before they'll even go anywhere near you and your funky house, because you're living in what is called, you know, fire area. And so there's a law called California Fair Plan. The state will cover you, but it costs. Now, later on tonight, Craig's going to be driving by our homes flipping cigarette butts. That's not even funny, man. See, Craig made that joke. That ain't even beginning to, it doesn't remotely touch funny. Flipping cigarette butts. How about just parking your truck out in the middle of some high brush and letting a spark from the muffler touch it off? So we got what we deal with every year, these fires. And to further the point, the heat's incredible. It's just incredible. Really something. And I have the same argument night in and night out with my wife. Please, honey, please, in the name of Jesus, please, can we turn the air on? I don't like that fake air. What does that mean, you don't like the fake air? I don't like reprocessed air. Good fresh air. That's why we had the ceiling fans installed. Good fresh air is great. I love good fresh air. But it's hot good fresh air, and the fan just blows the heat around. Please, will you let me turn the air on? No. My wife, one person, holds the other five hostage. Now, I ought to grow a couple and turn it on anyway. But then she gets out of bed with a harumph and goes downstairs someplace and grabs three pillows and a blanket and, you know, shuffles on off the freaking buffalo. And then the next morning, were you angry? A little bit. She'll be maybe buttering some toast, you know, punching at the microwave, getting the kids' cereal ready, and I'll go up to her and say, honey, are you angry? No, I'm not angry. That wouldn't be adequate to describe it. Okay, then what are you feeling right now? Disappointed, I guess. Are you disappointed in me? Well, that we can't have a meeting of the minds. The next thing you know, I'm going through psychodrama because I didn't want to lay there like Ramar of the jungle. Like I'm laying there with... and you're sweating and there's a mosquito net. Yeah, my wife is the all-time... She's the Saddam Hussein of guilt. You talk about weapons of mass destruction. Somebody ought to send a UN inspector to my house. All right, you got a big stock load of guilt here. I can see that. Damn right, man. I think you ought to blow it up. God. I'm just disappointed that we couldn't have a meeting. Oh, come on. It's the air conditioner. So I jacked that baby down to 71. I don't care, man. And then the other night I had to get up. I was freezing. That's how great it was. But it has definitely been a sick, twisted kind of heat wave. And hopefully those guys don't have to fight that crap much longer, and you guys won't get that. Of course, a tropical storm, you know, I wouldn't get too nuts about that. I lived through a tropical storm in Miami called Gordon, and guess what I did? I flew in a jet out of Miami during tropical storm Gordon because I was going to a golf tournament in Mexico, and I wasn't about to miss that at all. I wasn't about to miss my connector in Dallas, and I wasn't about to miss my connector in San Diego to get me down to Ensenada to play in a golf tournament down in Ensenada, Mexico, with a bunch of guys, a lot of Don Julio, and you can guess the rest. I wasn't about to miss that plane, and this cab driver, the guy picks me up. He's got no windshield wipers. I'm cursing and swearing. I finally get into a cab. I got windshield wipers. This guy says, get me down there. I lose my wallet on top of everything else. I get into the airport. I rush down to the gate. I'm catching this thing at 7 o'clock. It is a 40 to 50 mile an hour crosswind. And when I got on that plane, I sit down and I say, please, just no delay in takeoff. Meanwhile, everybody else sitting around me is crapping green bricks because there's a tropical storm going. I could care less. Please take off in time. And the pilot comes on.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Look at here. We're going to be flying out. I'm going to be a little bumpy on our ride out tonight.
No kidding.
And you just told time again.
I don't care, man. Just get this baby off the ground. I'm looking at my watch. It's supposed to take off at 7. Sure enough, 7:01. He's rolling down the runway. And boom, took off in this tropical storm. And I'd say maybe tops 30 seconds a bump. And then we were up over that baby and gone. And I looked at the little kid sitting next to me who was crying. I said, see, I told you nothing's wrong. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
But this guy who was adrift at sea for, I don't know how many, like 3.5 months, he was on his way to Catalina. Did you hear the story? He's a little guy who apparently, he doesn't have any family, and he didn't really, you know, he's a simple little guy. I think he's from Vietnam. He came from Vietnam. Richard Van Pham is his name. And he just got on his boat, and he was going to go to Catalina, and, well, the mast broke, and the radio doesn't work, and the engine doesn't work, and so he just floats away, and he catches birds, and he clubs sea turtles with a bat, and he just cooks them over some Bunsen burner he's got there in the boat, and every now and again he'd catch some rainwater in a sail and just drifted. He just drifted out there. He was living large out there, if you think about it. And then when they finally got him, he said, well, do you want anything? He said, well, I miss CBS. CBS? Well, okay, here it is. Oh, man. Yeah, Brian Gumbel. When I get that morning show going, that'd be something else. Otherwise, a real piece of crap, huh? But Survivor rocks. Can we get you any,
McDonald's, too, you know?
McDonald's, man. You were living on turtle juice and, you know, for...
Right. Well, you know... You guys still got some place I can stay?
And the poor little guy, he said, I said, what do you want us to do with the boat? Because the mast is broken. And he's just, well, you better burn it. I don't know. You know, he doesn't give a crap. He did give a crap. He felt bad about his boat. They burned his boat. The Coast Guard set fire to it and just sunk it. You know, there's something to be said for a life where you just kind of go through it without pushing your head through the concrete. You know, you're kind of carried along like a twig on the mighty shoulders of a river, as John, whatever that guy's name is, said in the movie Uncle Buck. John Candy. Rather than fussing and fighting and all the other bullcrap we involve ourselves in, here's a guy who, he just, you know, whatever happens, I guess I got lost. I'm out here in the middle of the ocean. If that was me, I would have tried to swim for it. I would have done something stupid like try to swim for it. And can you imagine being stuck on that boat? You know, we all have faith in our own ability to survive to some degree, but can you imagine being stuck in a boat like that? What if he was like with some woman, and, you know, your worst nightmare of a girlfriend, for instance?
Well, is it fixed yet?
No, it's not fixed yet.
When will it be fixed?
Just shut up, okay? Just shut up. Just shut up.
I'm cold!
Wrap your sweater around yourself and shut up.
You're mean.
Yes, I'm getting mean.
What are we gonna eat?
I know, I'll eat you. That'll save me some time.
God, I don't know what's gonna happen. Turn the air conditioner on!
There's no air conditioning in a sailboat. Come outside. Why are you down there anyway?
I'm sleeping.
Don't sleep down. Come up here. Come up topside.
I don't know what you mean when you use all that boat talk.
It's not boat talk. Come topside. Don't go below.
You mean come upstairs?
Come on upstairs. Come on up here, honey, and help me kill a turtle, all right? Be good for you. All right, here is Chris. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, man. I was wondering if you could do me a huge favor, and today's my birthday. If you could tell me to go straight to the living Hades as Steve Bozell.
Oh, really? Well, let me call up Steve and see. Can we get Steve on the line? Call Steve at his business in Corona, or I don't know where he is right now, at that pool hall. All right, hurry up. We're going to get him on the phone, all right, Chris?
Right on. Thank you, man.
How are you? How old are you?
Today I'm 22.
22. Boy, when I turned 22, I was getting... what was I making? Probably about $400 a week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Actually, my parents left for Miami today. So
actually, no. When I turned 22, I was making $100.50 a week.
That's more than me.
Yeah. So. Is it really?
Well,
no,
I'm
it's
going
not.
To right now.
Oh, okay. Your parents went where?
to Miami for the week, so I got the house to myself.
That's pretty cool. All right, Steve, hold on for a minute. Steve, you there?
Yes, sir.
Steve, I got Chris on the phone from Seattle.
Yes, sir. How are you, Chris?
Not bad, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm trying to get home right now, but my truck's still in the shop, and they told me that I probably snapped a spring, you know, one of the lifter springs, so...
Well, so you got a problem with your truck, huh?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing's brand new.
Well, listen, Chris has called up, and he wants you to tell him to go to hell in the Steve Bozell manner, because today is his 22nd birthday.
Actually, straight to the living Hades.
I just told you that my truck busted a lifter spring, and you want to play some game with me?
No, I'm just saying...
I mean, both of you can go straight to the living Hades in the underworld.
God damn, man. Thank you very much.
What's that? What'd you say?
I said, thank you.
Oh, really? You can go straight to across the river Styx.
Oh, I like that, across the river Styx.
That's nice,
good. Yeah, that's great. All right, Chris, well, happy birthday.
Right on, man. Thank you very much.
Have a very beautiful week with the folks out of town. It ought to be a rocking good time there.
Definitely.
On Bainbridge Island. He didn't say no. That's a rich part of town. I bet you the cat suddenly went, how does he know? Did you ever see that movie with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas, Disclosure, or the one where he was sexually harassed by her? And he lived on Bainbridge Island in Seattle. He went across on the ferry. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show here. So that was that guy's birthday. If you have any birthday wishes you'd like us to send out, please don't call. We don't do that. No, we don't. Hey, listen to this. Gay men attacked in San Diego. Well, there's a surprise. 4 gay men beaten in San Diego. Now, if you've ever been to San Diego, you know it's a Navy and a Marine Corps town, and the fact that gays get beaten up down there wouldn't surprise you in the least. San Diego is one of the most overrated cities in the world. It's one of the most overrated cities in the world. It is a beautiful city on the coast. It does have a long tradition of military, but it is the most reactionary, nasty, ugly place to live you've ever seen. And it's one of the most polarized places you've ever seen in terms of race relations. Blacks, they don't know whites. Whites, they don't know blacks. Hispanics, they don't know anybody. Everybody keeps to themselves down there. It's a pretty young city, but it's conservative. And the people that come out of that town, you know, they're business types, they're professional types. You also have artists, but not too many. You got a lot of those kind of reactionary youth gangs like skinheads down there. And if anything describes San Diego the best, this encounter I had with a program director of a radio station down there pretty much sums it up. I actually interviewed for a gig in San Diego once, and I was in a hotel meeting with the program director of this station, and he said, well, what do you do down there in Miami, Phil? What's going on? Well, I said, we're raising money for Center One. We have CDs and well, what's Center One? Center One is a place where it's an outreach. It's a resource center for people who are HIV positive, people in the gay community and in the straight community who may be HIV positive and would like to get some professional medical help, etc. It's a resource center for those things. AIDS outreach, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably, we don't have much call for down here. And I said, well, you've got AIDS down here, don't you? Yeah, but we don't like to make a big thing out of it. We just kind of keep it under wraps and kind of keep it quiet. You know, we kind of kick them under the wheelbarrow if we can, you know, kind of just walk through the neighborhood and go throw out your dead. And then put them in a wagon at 2 o'clock in the morning and get them out here to the ocean, just dump them in. Nobody knows. So that's San Diego. And now we have, of course, the story. Police stepping up patrols following several hate crime attacks on gay men earlier this month. And I've been saying this since I got back to L.A. in 1996. San Diego sucks. Okay? San Francisco does, too. But at least we all know why we don't like San Francisco. We don't like San Francisco because it considers itself to be a city that it isn't anymore. That is an important city. San Francisco hasn't been important in decades. Decades. Los Angeles, on the other hand, New York, Atlanta, Denver, Houston, Miami, these are all 21st century cities. These are cities moving to the fore, moving into the future. But when you're a citizen of a town that is regressing, shrinking, and getting dumber by the minute, you got to get out of there, man. And I would suggest that San Diego is a place you ought to get away from. And the other reason why we don't like San Francisco is because it's full of fags. All right. Now, our number again, 1-800-449-8686. You know, of course, I'm kidding. 1-800-44... Oh, you don't? All right. 1-800-449-8686. And the reason why we don't like San Diego is it's packed full of jarheads. Now, why doesn't that lady call again who got upset because I called Marines jarheads? Why don't you do that again, lady? Why don't you call up and tell me how I don't appreciate the sacrifices of the United States military, which all I've been doing for the last year is talking about how great our military is. But because you don't like me using the name jarhead, you will call up and tell me that I'm anti-military. Why don't you come on, call me. And the other thing about San Diego, here's a town that built a ballpark for its baseball team, but it's going to let its football team leave town. Now, that right there says it for me. Football team, good. Baseball team, not good. Build stadium for baseball team, you dumb. You know build stadium football team, you ass. You dumb, you not smart. Dumbass. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Sopranos was pretty good this past week. Sopranos, for those of you who don't know, is a television show on HBO that I enjoy. And I know there are so many on HBO that everybody is just oh so gaga over. 6 Feet Under, Sex and the City. Many are big Arliss fans. And I believe there's Curb Your Enthusiasm. But for me, for my money, the bang for my buck, Sopranos. It's got everything I need. It's got everything I want. Violence, sex, good stories, good writing, fantastic acting, and oh yeah, the Mafia. Now, the Mafia is, of course, in real life, a desperate, despicable, and ultimately destructive organization. But somehow on television and in the movies, they're embraceable, aren't they? They're touchable. They're reachable. We can live a little bit vicariously through them. We almost feel as if we could hang out with them. Whereas, of course, you know, in real life, most of us, if we actually tried to sit down in a Mafia social club, let's just say they weren't going to kill you. We'd still wet ourselves just walking in the door. But The Sopranos this past week was fantastic because they always surprise you in each episode. Now, Christopher Moltisanti, played by a tremendous actor named Michael Imperioli, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, he is being groomed to become the boss of the family. The family led by Tony Soprano, played by James Gandolfini. Christopher's girlfriend, Adria, has been befriended by another good-looking chick who turns out to be an undercover FBI agent. And Adria gets tight with this undercover FBI agent, hangs out with her, goes and has drinks with her. Christopher doesn't trust this new girlfriend. He thinks maybe she's a dyke. He doesn't know what she's up to, but she's just wrong in his feeling. Until finally, an argument breaks out, and the FBI agent slash girlfriend of Adria has to leave the friendship because Christopher just doesn't want her around anymore. At which point, the FBI says, let's bring her in, meaning Adria. Okay, so the female FBI agent who is undercover now comes out of the closet, as it were, identifies herself as an FBI agent. Adria, you're under arrest. Come with us. Not really placing her under arrest, but we're going to talk to you. Come with us. And they bring her in for questioning. And they basically tell her, you are going to be charged with conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance, to wit, cocaine, or you're going to cooperate with us. And she says, well, suppose I don't cooperate with you. And they say, well, then you're going to have to explain to Tony Soprano why you brought a FBI agent into his home, meaning this female friend. And Christopher and you will probably disappear as the result of that information. At which point, once again, in one of the all-time great surprises in cinematic history, Adria pukes all over the FBI table. And it isn't just bleh, it's like a big spray of vomit. Blam! Gets all over the cop, gets all over the other cop, gets all over her. I mean, she is so scared, she's screwed. Any of you guys familiar with Sopranos, I'm sure you would agree, she's completely screwed. Six ways to sunset, Jim. What's she going to do? She's not going to cooperate with the FBI. Now they drop it on Tony Soprano that she brought an FBI agent into his home. Well, then she's dead there. Or Christopher and her are dead. Or Christopher will have to kill. Either way, she's dead. Or she cooperates with the FBI, which means she wears a wire, which means, and a wire, of course, in the slang of the trade, is a recording device, which means also she sort of puts her life on the line. But either way, she's done as a mob girlfriend. Done. Now, they've really changed her character. And what's interesting, I read an interview with David Chase, who created the show. He has to really agonize at the beginning of every season, who's he going to whack this season? Because when you whack a character, you're losing a great actor. The guy that played Pussy Bumpin' Cero, he got whacked in the first season. And he was a tremendous character. James Gandolfini, according to Chase, calls him every year before they start shooting to ask, am I going to get whacked? And Chase has to say to him, what are you, an idiot? You're Soprano. You're the guy. What, I'm going to whack you? He says, Gandolfini is that insecure, which I can totally relate to. When you're a brilliant artist, you still feel insecure, as I do at times. But, yeah, here we go. Here we go. Sometimes the agony is much too much. I stare in the mirror and I see the ghost of Dylan Thomas. That's all I can think of. So, it's going to be kind of interesting to see. Parmesan wine is tremendous juice. I'm Orson Welles for Parmesan. I love to come home to my house, sit down, and guzzle three bottles of it. Parmesan will make no wine before its time, but that doesn't stop me from bothering them with phone calls every Friday night, sending over a case. I'm Orson Welles with a small dog in my lap. Come on, don't stop that calamari. This is Marlon Brando for Parmesan Wine. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, instead of a wino, which is what I am.
Hello, I'm Charles Curl. When I'm not juicing, I like to go to Iowa and sit with Mary Brown in a little farm out there in the middle of Des Moines. Every day, Mary feeds the ducks and then goes inside and has her morning dump. I'm Charles Curl, reporting for On the Road.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how I did that. Oh, here we go.
I'm G. Gordon Liddy, and Bill Clinton and his bride are in the news. But first this from Brew 102. Friends, they're still making Brew 102 out of the L.A. River, and that means, of course, many of the impurities that you've come to know and love from Brew 102 are still in that famous beer. And that's why I love Brew 102. It's a river beer. It tastes like Louisiana river water. Brew 102.
I don't know, it's either G. Gordon Liddy or Art Bell, but they're the same guy. They're the same guy. It's the same voice, you know? I'm Art Bell, and, you know, G. Gordon Liddy is a little higher, and all right, where are we? So, yeah, that's it. 1-800, The Sopranos, yeah, so she's done, and maybe they're going to whack Adria this year, which would be a bad thing. She's a gorgeous, gorgeous example of femininity. She's a real hunk of woman. Dumb, but when has that ever mattered? Great actress, great body, Drea DiMatteo, Sopranos. All right, here's Eric. Hi, Eric.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you, Phil?
Good, man.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller. I just want to call and say, you know, I love your show. It's
Thanks.
Pretty bad. I like how pissed people get.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, I want to talk about The Sopranos, though.
Mm-hmm.
And about the Las Vegas parties that they have. And I forgot which hotel it's at.
What do you mean the Las Vegas parties that they have?
Yeah, they have party, like Sopranos parties in Las Vegas where you get to meet, like, the whole cast and stuff like that.
They do?
Yeah.
When?
You'd be surprised. There's one coming up in, like, a month or so.
Awesome.
I know my parents are headed to that.
Janice tells me it's at Bally's, okay.
Okay. Yeah, but if you, I mean, since you haven't heard of it, but the people there are some absolute freaks.
Yeah? They're all fans?
Like, going there, I feel uncomfortable because I've been to one.
Uh-huh.
And it's hardcore mafia.
Like, are you telling me serious mafia go to Soprano parties?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it. I mean, I can't be certain.
You're not banging some of that Humboldt Green before you. Are you sparking owl before you go to these things?
Oh, you know, Phil, I've been known to maybe once or twice. But...
Well, then you might be imagining it, man. You may be so stoned, you're going, God, that guy's probably an underboss from Kansas City.
It's happened. I've tripped out maybe once or twice.
I got to go to that. That's the Sopranos. It's the Sopranos party at Bally's. It's going to be in a month, and you say that some real wise guys actually go to these things.
Yeah, I mean, it's not normal.
All right. And just before we go to the Sopranos party there at Bally's, we're probably going to want to do something like this, and then we'll be ready for the same experience that you've had.
You know, I'd suggest maybe, well, I don't know if I can say it on the radio, but some shrooms, maybe.
Oh, I see. Eat some peyote, do some psilocybin, smoke a bunch of weed, drink a bunch of pink Chablis.
Yeah.
And then you're fine. All right, brother,
exactly.
Thank you for that.
Goodbye.
So the big Sopranos party in Vegas. Apparently they do a very nice promotional turn for that show. It's very low-key, very hush-hush. They don't do a lot of big, broad advertising for that program. They go to casinos a lot. They did one in Connecticut, I think, and then they're going to do, I guess, these Vegas parties. How come I never heard about that? I guess, do they only advertise that on the little newsletter, the Soprano newsletter? Which you get invited if you're a high roller, I'm told. Well, that's definitely me. I won $150 in a couple of them video poker games one night, and I walked over to the guy and said, yeah, let's do it, babe. Come on. You going to comp me a buffet or what? 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our Vegas party. And where's it going to be? Las Vegas. The number to call to get that Phil Henry package, 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Don't forget, 1-800-288-1000. See you in Vegas Friday night.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome to World Beyond. This evening, Dr. Bradford Samuels from Columbia University will debate Paul Sorrentino from Izzy's Clam House about life on Mars. Is it possible? Dr. Samuels, you'll be the first, and then Mr. Sorrentino, you'll follow up. Go ahead, Dr. Samuels.
Well, I think, of course, the possibility of life on Mars is stunning. We can support life by using biodomes and vegetation from the Earth. Now, that creates oxygen, which gradually changes the atmosphere. And by rolling this out over generations, to be sure, we can start to create an oxygenated atmosphere on Mars. But that will take quite some time. But I do think it's possible.
You think it's possible, though, but not for a couple of hundred years.
Not for a couple of hundred years, no. Now, the other point I want to make is that I do believe there is microscopic or microbic life. I don't mean microbotic, because that would mean micro-robots. And I don't think there are micro-robots on Mars, but I think there are some bacteria, perhaps, in the ice that we know to be extant there on the polar caps.
All right, so you think there could be bacteriological?
Yes.
All right, now Mr. Paul Sorrentino from Izzy's Clam House. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, back up a little bit. Back up.
Well, where do you want me to back up to?
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean robots? What are you talking about, a robot?
No, no, I misspoke. I meant micro...
No, 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 no. You said... You know, what are you talking about?
Well, do you have a specific question?
Whoa. Let me talk to the man, all right? He said that there's a way you could put... Well, what are you, Mr. Spock all of a sudden with all of this, the questions and all the commentary? Little bitty, itty bitty robots on Mars?
No, you, Mr. Sorrentino, you're going to have to let me finish, okay?
What do you mean?
I said there was,
Get the fag off the piano! Get the fag off the piano! Go ahead.
I said, sir, that microbes, bacteria...
I understand that. I don't understand what you're talking about. You say they're gonna put like oxygen, whatever the hell that. What is that?
Well, life cannot sustain without oxygen. Of course, life as we know it, and plants make oxygen, but they.
Well, what does the plant breathe?
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide.
Yes, sir.
So you're telling me that a plant breathes carbon? Forget it.
This has been World Beyond. And we'll be back. I guess you gentlemen are done.
Well, he's a dumbass.
Whoa, what do you mean I'm a dumbass? You know what?
No, he really, I'm out of here.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Do you actually think that when you insult these children, that they're taking away from you the deeper meaning that you think these children are going to get from this insult?
Yes. And that's based on 35 years of education now.
Really? And are you there for the after effects of those insults after those children leave your classroom?
Well, they laugh. You know something? Children are very resilient. I heard it said on this program yesterday, Mr. Henry, by one of your guests or callers, that children are like a rubber ball. They bounce back. They are flexible emotionally and physically.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever taken a psychology class?
Of course I have.
You know what? I'm a child that was spanked.
It was a mail order class, but I worked at night, and I took my classes during the day.
That type of language totally affects a child. Like when you told that child, I'm going to sell you to a white man, do you think that he sat down and said, I'm disrespecting my freedom? No.
I think I saw him reflect on that. He went over and sat on a bench by himself. And
He sat down and reflected how he should be scared of white people is what he did.
Well, that's the thing that we're worried about. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to sell you to a white man.
He knows white people are a lot of fun. Listen, we have white teachers. We have white students. And he knows that white people are a lot of fun to look at because they think they're smarter than they are. And we have, you know, are you black?
No, ma'am. I'm actually Hispanic.
You know how we get together as minorities and we laugh at the white man because he thinks he's better than he is. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. It went blank for a second. I didn't hear you.
You went blank?
Yeah.
I don't understand. She's...
You gotta get a call there,
I'm not gonna pick it up. I'm listening to you guys.
You know, because I think call waiting is so rude.
Well, I'm not picking it up then.
Right.
I'm listening to you.
You know how, as minorities, we all get together and say, Whitey, he is so funny because he thinks he's smarter than he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell the children that. And the children, I said, I'm gonna sell you to a white man. A little boy went over and he laughed. He laughed his ass off. And I said to him, but you know I love you.
All right, so the upshot is the boy wasn't hurt by saying, I'm going to sell you to a white man.
Well, no, because we teach our children, and no white man's smart enough to hold on to a black person these days.
So why would you say it in the first place?
Because I wanted the boy to laugh. I wanted the child to feel
better
about
and what about
himself.
The children that you told them that their behavior, that's why their father had abandoned them because of their behavior? Do you think that's not something that's going to stick with them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, but I said, but I love you. So they know that the bad man...
What does it matter if you love them? They don't care about you. They care about their father.
Their
now they're going to be thinking for the rest of their lives how their father abandoned them because
of their
behavior.
Truth. Well, of course, and maybe he did.
Oh, my
well, now, wait a minute. There's no father abandons. Father abandons because of the relationship between...
How do you know, Mr. Henry? You know a lot of men abandon families because they cannot handle the children.
No, they abandon their families because they're weak.
They're weak men, yes, and they don't have any sense of responsibility. Look, we're getting off the subject here. I think...
Look, I said to those children in that picnic, I said, now look at you acting like some kind of urban ghetto Negro. Your daddy left, probably smoking crack,
and doing all that because of your behavior.
Urban ghetto Negro.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, what do you say to your kids, Denise? You probably say,
you know what? I don't have any children.
I feel like a hoochie mama with all that Aquanet hairspray.
I helped raise my niece until she was about 9 years old. And when I needed to discipline her, I did spank her the way that I spanked my child. But you know what? I think I only had to hit her once. And then after that, after I spanked her on the butt that one time, I did the counting game with her. And she knew that once I got to five, she was in it. By three, by the time I counted to three, my niece, you know what? A spank goes away.
Bill Hendry Show. Come